Anyway, I'm looking forward to this tonight's lesson. It's a little bit different in the sense that me personally, I don't know about y'all, but I've never heard it preached on or actually taught on. And it's really been interesting to me. I've had to, I think, study more with this one in particularly. But at the same time, it's really been a challenge. You know, sometimes as a preacher, I'm not a preacher, but as a, I know preachers are challenged. Sometimes God challenges them to certain things in the Bible. And even as a teacher, you get challenged. God wants you to expand yourself, I think, you know, to a certain degree. So I'm kind of excited about it. But if you got your Bibles, go ahead and go to Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now, before we get started, I want to bring out something here, and I want you to really pay close attention to this. As here, as her wife makes herself ready, this does not have anything to do with your salvation. Has to do with your works. And I want you to know that, and I want you to realize that, and we're going to separate the two as this lesson goes on. Now, before I really get into it, I'm going to throw out a bunch of questions, and we'll answer these questions at the end of the lesson. Number one, when is the wedding going to take place? Two, where is the wedding going to take place? After the wedding, where do we go on our honeymoon? After the honeymoon, as we go on our honeymoon, what are we going to do on our honeymoon? So with this being said, I want you to think of, in a sense, as a marriage. And as we look at this, you know, down here, a marriage, for an example, the bride is the one that takes center stage. And they have to do a lot of work to get prepared for the wedding, more so than the groom. Well, this wedding is actually right the opposite. This wedding is a spiritual wedding. It's not a wedding as such as we have here, but it's parallel to it. Now, as a spiritual wedding, it is quite different. The groom is going to take center stage. The groom will have center stage. The groom requires center stage while the wife or the bride is down here. The church is the bride. Now, as we look at this, it's quite different in the sense that the groom has preeminence over the bride. But yet, at the same time, the Lord Jesus put something in here that really stuck with me just reading the Bible. And it was, "His wife hath made herself ready." Now, what does the church have to do to make herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Now, there's several things I want you to look at. First of all, I want you to take notice what verse 7 said. It said, "Let us be glad and rejoice." In other words, let us be excited and let us give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And I want you to take notice, He has preeminence right off the bat. It's going to be all about Him. But you and I have a part in this wedding that's going to take place. And like I said, I was really excited about studying this. Number one, I want you to think about this. It is a spiritual wedding. Number two, I want you to think about this. The Lord Jesus Himself, and the reason that He deserves preeminence, He instituted marriage between a man and a woman. I want you to think about this. Not male and male, not female or female. Between a man and a woman. Now that's down here. Now, as we look at this, the church, like I said, is the bride. But now Lord Jesus wanted a bride, and He made a plan before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And this is the church. As we look at this, He planned all of this way before anything ever took place or anything happened. Now, also in the Old Testament, as we look in the Old Testament, Israel is the bride of God. Now, we are the bride of Christ. Now, also, as we look at this and think about this, when Israel committed idolatry, the Lord related to her as an adulteress. Now, you and I, in a sense, we're not related that way. And I'll bring out this and I'll show you this. But what I want us to think about just for a minute. Now, what does Christ desire for you and I as a bride? What does Christ want His bride to be? What desire does He have? You know, when you're dating each other and when you're going with each other, before you get married, how exciting is it? You want to be with them every chance you get. As close as you can be to them. You don't want to be away from them. And you can't wait when you're separated to get back to Him. Now, all of this has to do with the Lord Jesus and you and I as the bride makes herself ready. Because during this period of time, before we get married to the Lord Jesus, you and I are going to develop a relationship. Now, the Lord has a relationship that He wants for you. And you and I should have a relationship that we want with Him. Now, as we look at this, it's kind of exciting in the sense of what Christ, His desire that He has for you and I. If you got your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus wants for His bride, wants for you. This is His desire that He has for you. His relationship that He has, that He wants for you. Verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Number one, He does not want you to be a weak Christian. He wants you to be a strong Christian. Because He wants to be proud of you, who you are, His bride. He wants you to be strong, to be strengthened in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be what? Rooted and grounded in what? From who? Him. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ in your heart from the time He saved your soul. And even before then, really, because He made the plan. But I want you to think about that. Here's something else He wants you to know that He desires for you. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of this. Pretty well covers it all, don't you? And to know the love of Christ, listen to this, who passes knowledge, in other words, He wants you to have this knowledge about Him, what He desires for you, and how much He actually loves you, and how much He cares about you. He wants you to have this knowledge, that you may be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. In other words, He wants you to be full of Him, 24/7. I want you to think about that. That's His desire for you. And we're going to get in what's your desire for Him in just a minute. But He's covering a lot of territory here. I want you to think about this. Now, verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh work." And within us. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit that works in us according to the power that worketh in us. Now you and I, here's where the bride starts making herself a little bit ready. You and I have a choice to let the Holy Spirit either rule or not rule. This is where we start making ourselves ready for Him. Is letting His power work through us. How many times have you heard it said that you can't live a Christian life? You can't. I can't. He has to live it through you. And this is where this power is coming from. But also you can stop this. You have a choice where you want to be with Him and how much power you want to have with Him. It is your choice, nobody else's. It's up to you how close you want to be with Christ. Now, as we look at this, there's a relationship that has to take place between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride while we are down here. Now, His relationship with us is just what I just brought out. Now, let's think about Him. A key to any relationship while you're dating, I want you to think about this. How many times while you're dating that you submit to one another? Why? You do it voluntarily. Even if you don't want to, for an example, I'll use my wife when we were dating. She wanted to go somewhere and I really didn't want to go. I went anyway. Because I enjoyed being with her. I enjoy being happy. You understand what I'm saying? It's a relationship we have. Now, when you first got saved, a born-again Christian, how did you feel? How close did you want to be with Christ then? What would you have done then when you first got saved compared to what you do now after all these years of just dating? Now, you stop and think about that just for a minute. It'll kind of sink in, you know, in a little bit. All right. Submission is the key, listen to me, to yourself of actually being a Christian and having a fantastic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes down to submission to you as a Christian. Submission is totally voluntarily. And the reason that you should submit to the Lord Jesus Christ is because you will submit to His will for your life on a daily basis that you can have the fullness of Him ever continually, every day. Not just when we come to Sunday. Not just when we come Sunday night or Wednesday night. You want to be full of Christ? Submit to His will, not yours. All right? Now, go on over to chapter 4, verse 26. We'll start with verse 21. "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God." Now, here's the thing. You get into husbands and wives, I want you to take notice it was even listed, I don't know so much about it, but submitting yourself to one another, he's talking about the bride and the church as we work together for Christ, our relationship that we have with Him. He put it before anything, submitting yourself one to another. How many churches do you know backbites, talks, gossips? You submit. God has an order. If you'll read that all the way down through there, you'll see how the order is set up for his bride to act and to behave and what to do. It's even on a marriage down here. Now, it ain't just the wives, and I'm using country language, it ain't to the wives just to submit. The husband has to submit as well as the wife. That's a two-way street. Actually, the husband, I'll just be honest with you, you have more responsibility than the wife does. You're supposed to lay down your life for your wife. You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to direct. You are the one that sets your spiritual standards in your house. You men are. You set it. Everything then comes into place. Then your wife submits voluntarily to you. You submit voluntarily to Christ, and both of you do, but also both of you submit voluntarily to each other, just as you were when you were dating. You do it because you love each other. You want to. You have a desire to. I want you to think about that just for a second. Now, as we go on down to verse 26, it says that he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, when I was studying this, I read that and I thought, well, how is the good Lord going to do that? When I sin, when I come short of His glory, when I don't do the work that I need to do for Him, how is He going to present Himself a church without spot and without blemish, holy and acceptable unto Him? Well, He already done it. He already done it. On the cross of Calvary, when He said it is finished, it was finished. My sins are gone from past, present, and future. As we read over there in Revelations, the bride works, but not for her salvation. So when God puts me in heaven as His bride, I'm already without spot and without blemish. Now, I want you to know that, and I want you to get a handle on that, because that is one of our problems. Why is it one of our problems? Well, I'm going to go to heaven before I come to church or not. I'm going to go to heaven where I work for Him or not. I'm going to go to heaven where I pray or not. I'm going to go to heaven where I sit on the bench and do nothing or not. Because we know that we're going to heaven regardless because of what He has done. That's why we give Him honor, praise, and glory for what He has done. But here's the thing. Why don't we love Him as much as He loved us during our relationship? I'm amazed how easily sometimes I forget. I'm talking about me. I forget what He has done for me. I'm amazed at that. How easily it is. Now, there's something I want to bring out here, and I'm going to come back to the washing of the water of the Word, and we're going to get back now to our relationship and how we get ready. How do we get ready? Now, I could have went in a lot of different directions on how we could get ready. Number one is you walk, if you want to look at it. Number two is you fellowship, if you want to go down that road. But what about our desires? What about our desire, how close that we really want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, as we look at this, our desires are really something else as we look at our relationship. Now, let me get my thing here and I'll get right back with you on our desires that we have as a Christian. lost my place here just for a second, but that's all right. Well, here we go. Number one is, I want you to stop and think about just for a second, when the bride makes herself ready, you and I also give the invitation for other people to be part of the bride, to be part of the church. The Lord Jesus made a way for this whole world to be saved. But in Revelations 22 and 17, the Bible talks about how that the Lord Jesus and the bride gives the invitation. The invitation is given through the preaching, but also the invitation is given through the witnessing that you and I are supposed to do to lost people. You and I also tell them to come to Christ and to get saved. Now, as we look at this, in Isaiah 1 and 18, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Over there in Revelations, the bride said, come. Christ says, come. You and I work together with Christ, with our relationship of wanting this whole world to be saved. That's part of our works. That is part of what we do for Him as we look at this. Now, how close do we want to be with the good Lord? Now, as I told you just a little bit while ago, relationship between the bride and the bridegroom, how close desire that we really want to have. Psalm 73, verse 25, whom I have in heaven but thee, and there is none upon thee that I desire beside thee. Your whole desire should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 63, verse 1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul longeth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We are in that shape right now. We are in a dry and thirsty land. Now, I know that we need to thirst after Him. We need to search after Him. We should have a desire to be as close to Him as we possibly can be. You and I, that is up to us. The good Lord is not going to make you do that. It's submitting time. You have to submit yourself to do that. To be part of that. And there's no other way about it. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. And we'll this right here in verse 26, I want you to stop and think just a minute. In Ephesians 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, the believer, now this is, to me, is what I want to get you to focus on your works towards Christ. Alright. 4 and 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what does that actually mean? Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. What does it really mean? And I'm going to have to hurry because I'm going to run out of it before I get there, where I want to go. Alright. This is something that you cannot do within yourself. Do you realize that? There's three parts to that one verse there. Number one is the Spirit of God. Number two, as we look at this, about the Spirit of God being conformed to this world. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world. This is part of that verse where you realize it's not about being in your mind, renewing your mind. Now, how do we renew our mind? I want you to think about that just for a second. You can't do it within yourself. It's like being born again or being saved. For an example, when you got born again who come to you and talk to you about your sins. Christ did, right? You were convicted. He come to you. You accepted Him. You become part of the bride. Right here, it's not a whole lot different in the sense of that when we are in this world, we get dirty. We get spotted. We have weights that weigh us down. The pressure of this world is always wanting us to conform to the world and not Christ. But God wants us to be renewed daily. Alright, how do you do that? First of all, like I said, number one, you have to submit to the will of God. Next of all, I want you to think about the Spirit has to deal with you. That's why I come to church, to hear the preaching of the Word that I might be convicted, knowing where I come short and fail the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, when I repent of what the Holy Ghost has convicted me of doing, then the Word washes me and cleanses me and makes me whole. I get renewed by the Spirit of God. The only part I have in that is submitting to Him, repenting to Him. He's faithful and just for what? To forgive us of our sins. So as we look at that, that kind of amazed me as I really thought about that. It's just like you renew daily when you do that. But not only that, how else are you renewed daily? What about prayer? You can be renewed by prayer. How else are you renewed daily? This book is the mind of Christ. This Bible is the mind of Christ. How many of you study it daily? See, all of these is where the bride makes herself ready for Him to be cleaned up, to be ready, to be prepared for the wedding. Now, what else about the mind is so important? We always talk about the heart. But what about the mind? And that's the reason I want to bring this out. Alright? Let me bring out some things. The believer is to love the Lord with all his mind. Now, I want you to think about that just a minute. Matthew 22:37, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. There's three parts to this. With all thy soul and with all thy mind. See, first of all, you got to be renewed. Then you have the love of God in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. Next, the believer is to cast down imaginations and every thought that interrupts his knowledge of God to the captivity to every thought for Christ. All right? Where do we sin the most at? We don't go out and do a bunch of big stuff. Now, don't you think that? I don't believe anybody here goes out and does a bunch of big stuff. So where do we sin? Right here. Your thoughts about what you might like to do. Even what you might want to do. But what else? How is it that we fail Christ so much? For an example, be not conformed to this world. Remember what I just said? All right, when you're watching TV and a thought enters your mind, you need to go pray or you need to go study, what do? Sit there and watch TV. You conform to the world. You did not renew your mind. What about when God asked you to witness to somebody and you said, no, I can't do that. I'm afraid. Well, you only do what you think God is capable of doing through you. That's lack of faith. It's conforming to fear. What else do we conform to in this world? What about fads? They come along all the time. What about fashion? Just gotta have it. Just gotta have it. No way around it. I'd like to have a boat. I'd like to go fishing. Do we go on Sunday? Hunting. I remember before I got in church, I was in the woods all winter. All time. After I got saved, though, I will not go on Sunday. Even when we're off Sunday afternoon, I still don't go hunting. That's the Lord's day. And that's the way I look at it, and that's the way I feel about it. It's His day. I got six other days if I want to go hunt. Be conformed to the world. If I go hunting on Sunday afternoon, and I kill a deer, and somebody sees me kill a deer on Sunday afternoon, what do they think? Now, don't you think it was not wrong me killing the deer? Actually, in one way, it's not even wrong me hunting. It's the appearance of it. The Bible says to abstain from appearance of evil. So as we look at things, we have to decide all these different things. And I'm going to have to hurry. All right, let's give a few more. All right. As we look at this, Ephesians 4 and 17, the believer is to be renewed in spirit of his mind. Philippians 2 and 5, the believer is to let the mind of Christ be in him by walking humbly before God and men. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to have, and we do have, the mind of Christ. There's no way around it. We have it. It all depends on which mind we want to put first, our old nature or Christ's mind. The new man or the old. It's that simple when you really get into it. Now, let's move on. Let's go back to Revelations. That all of this is our relationship, how we work, and what we're supposed to do for Christ. This is just part of it. There's no way in the world I could bring out everything that we're supposed to do for Christ. Revelations chapter 19 again. As we look at this. All right, I asked you some questions. So let's get some answers. Okay? All right, where's the wedding going to be? Going to be in heaven. I think you already know that. But that's actually where it's going to be. But the next question is, when is the wedding? When is it going to take place? Well, I got news for you. It's going to take place after the judgment seat of Christ. Not before. Alright? What's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? This has to do with the bride making herself ready. What does the Bible say? It'll be in Ephesians, I believe it is, chapter 10. And I'm not going there. You can look it up if you want to. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this because it's lack of time. Our works are going to be manifested. In other words, they are going to be brought to light. Everything that you have done, making yourself ready, the bride of Christ, will be brought out because this is your works that you are doing or your relationship that you have down here with Him. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you would want everybody in here to think of you that you're a good Christian? We all do, right? Now, how many of you want to tell everybody what you really like? Whoa! Yes. Guess what's going to happen? Everything is coming out. No matter what it is. You've got to realize, at the judgment seat of Christ, there is no mercy. You don't think about that. We already done God mercy by going to heaven. This is our works. And if you'll go on over and study the six different things where that our works can either burn up, weigh hay or stubble. They're going to be burnt. Some people, some Christians are going to go to heaven, and they're going to get there and smell like smoke. They're not going to have work won. But if you'll notice in verse 8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now let me ask you a question. Is this the possibility of your wedding gown? Christ is already going to give you a white robe. This is separate. Where is your wedding gown or not, I don't know for sure, but one thing I do know, that it's extra compared to the robe that we're going to have. This is from our works. In verse 8. Alright. Now, when is the wedding going to take place? After the judgment seat. Now, go back up. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His heads were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. This name is called the Word of God. The armies, here we are. The armies which were in heaven followed him. And upon a white horse, clothed in what? Fine linen. White and clean. After the judgment seat, and when he comes down here to rule and reign, we're coming with him. This is our honeymoon. It's going to be down here when he rules and reigns with Christ. We're going to be with him. Now, I know I'm out of time and I'm having to hurry. I wish I had all, I got all my scripture, but that's okay. Alright, what are we going to do on our honeymoon? What are we going to do while we're down here? Alright, Matthew, if you'll go back sometimes in chapter 25, you'll find some of these things. Christ is going to make you ruler over many things. Alright, this is when the bride makes herself ready. This is part of your works also. Your works will determine your position and how you rule down here with him. Also in Luke, you're going to find out, as we rule and reign with him, he mentions that some of you, or some, will be ruler over 10 cities. Yep. And I'm kind of amazed at that, how some is going to be greater. You know, we always talk about, you know, where we'd be like in the kingdom. We always talk about our rewards. Well, this is our rewards when we get down here. We know we're going to have crowns. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we're going to do and on our honeymoon and where we're at. Isn't it going to be exciting that he's going to put you in authority? And it's going to be exciting that you're going to be able to rule and reign with him? What happens if you don't have works? You're going to be following a lot of people. Well, that's just the way it's going to be. You are going to be rewarded for everything that you do for him to be holy, to be pure, to have that desire and that closeness that you need with Christ to renew your mind on a daily basis. Repent of the sin and weight that so easily besets you and I. Be washed by the water and then cleaning of the Word of God on a daily basis through prayer, through the preaching, through teaching, through studying, doing what God would have you to do. Submit to Him. It's not me. It's not your pastor. We do submit, though, really to one another. But we need to submit to Christ first and foremost, and then everything else will fall into place.
Yes, sir.
Now, this has been interesting to me. I don't know about you, but I've learned something about the bride of Christ, about the work, about my rewards or your rewards or what I can receive by what I do for Him. Not my salvation, but me getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm kind of excited, but I will tell you this. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat. First of all, I don't want you to know what I'm really like. I'll be the first one to tell you. But after it's over with, I'm hoping He'll say, "Well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many." May the good Lord bless you.